listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicky.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, August 31st. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicky Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you and glad to have those joining us live. Always a pleasure to see you each and every week. I always look forward to it and it's, it's cathartic for me. Thank you for all of that, letting me rant and rave and letting me occasionally let Dr. Vicky get an edge word in edgewise. But
oh, I can hold my own.
And as always, we appreciate those that listen to the archives. In fact, I will say that tonight's topic is a recommendation from the archives, from somebody that had listened after the broadcast, listening to us talk about ancient alien visitors and the ancients. Good idea to focus on maybe Atlantis. So thank you to Dr. Greg for that. And moving on, Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are 1. Do no harm and do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So, like I say, I'm really excited on tonight's topic, the legend of Atlantis. You know, it's such, you know, rich, you know, stories, possibilities, you know, and so many things it touches on, you know. So theories. I know we were getting exactly.
You know, that's what Michael and I were talking before the show, and I said, but there's nothing for fact about, you know, what we can talk about with Atlantis, and he reminded me that nothing we talk about has any facts.
That's our
shtick. We're always speculating and theorizing, and it's very true. And here we go again. So, I love the topic of Atlantis. Over all of my lifetime, I've always tried to poke my nose into what's going on out there, from Blavatsky to Plato and Edgar Cayce, which Dr. Greg wrote about in his email to us. And thanks, I want to say thanks to Greg for that too. But Michael and I are in one agreement to begin with Plato.
Yeah.
And because that to me is, I think, where Atlantis gained most of its momentum,
you know,
in history.
Well, absolutely. That, you know, that's kind of what set off the whole, you know, the whole shebang as it is, was his mentions in a couple of, you know, very old works. We're looking at...
So keep in mind, we're going back 10,000 years now.
Yeah, no, well...
Turning the page back 10,000 or so
Well,
years.
We're going back to Plato. Plato, this is going to be roughly 2,400 years ago.
Okay.
2,600 years ago, actually, right. And then rewritten in 360 BCE. But these are Plato's writings, dialogues. One is Timaeus, and the other is Critias. All other mentions of Atlantis in the early ancients are based on these dialogues. And here's the predominant one in the first dialogue. And I'm going to go on for a minute. It's a little, you know, lengthy for what we would usually go through in a broadcast, but given our topic, I think it's best to start with this, and it's not quite so long. For it is related in our records, and I'm quoting now, how once upon a time your state stayed the course of a mighty host, which, starting from a distant point in the Atlantic Ocean, was insolently advancing to attack the whole of Europe and Asia to boot. For the ocean there was at a time navigable. For in front of the mouth which you Greeks call, as you say, the Pillars of Hercules, there lay an island which was larger than Libya and Asia together, and it was possible for the travelers of that time to cross to it from the other islands, and from the islands to the whole of the continent against, over against them, which encompasses the veritable ocean. For all that we have here, lying with the mouth of which we speak, is evidently a haven, having a narrow entrance, but that yonder is a real ocean, and the land surrounding it may most rightly be called, in the fullest and truest sense, a continent. And now in this island of Atlantis there existed a confederation of kings, a great and marvelous power, which held sway over all of the island, and over many other islands and also parts of the continent. End quote. Now that is a dialogue between two different people in his writings. And it's, you know, said to be, you know, he purported it to be true. And as he goes on into the minutia, into the next one, it is where we get that idea that in the version, and please excuse my mispronunciations of ancient Greek words, of Critias, is where it states it was 9,000 years before his lifetime that a war took place between those outside the Pillars of Hercules at the Straits of Gibraltar in modern day and those within them. The Atlanteans had conquered the parts of Libya within the Pillars of Hercules as far as Egypt and the European continent as far as Tyrrhenia. And it goes on, and I'm going to finish this last quick paragraph from Critias. But afterwards there occurred violent earthquakes and floods, and in a single day and night of misfortune all of your warlike men in a body sank into the earth, and the island of Atlantis in a manner disappeared in the depths of the sea, for which reason the sea in those parts is impassable and impenetrable, because there is a shoal of mud in the way, and this was caused by the subsistence of the island. End quote. So that is kind of the origin of the legend.
Which, that supports the idea that Atlantis is located between Spain and Morocco, in the whereabouts. Now, Edgar Cayce and others have said it's in the Atlantic off of Cuba, the Bahamas, somewhere there. Now, this is part of where it goes kind of gray, because I'm more likely to go with Plato's description and this underwater city that has been found, in fact, off of Spain, that would be Atlantis, and that makes better sense to
well,
me.
And I think one of the interesting things to consider, too, is while Plato is the earliest reference that we have to Atlantis,
right,
a lot of our history comes from people who were working on other primary sources that have been lost to history. You know, the burnings of the great libraries of Alexandria happened twice. You know, manuscripts and works that will have been lost forever to time until we can create time travel, space-time travel, because everything's moving, and go back and get them. I'd like to think we could do that one day. Preserve all of the works in the Library of Alexandria before they burn. Go to different places before they're destroyed and collect the art or literary works. You know, it's amazing that we even know of some of the languages that we do. Sumerian, they never meant for that to be preserved. The only chance they were by accident. They meant for them to be reused and, you know, used again the next year. So how many written languages existed before, but that were not permanent, you know?
Well, the point about Atlantis is that, by all the talk of it, is it was a very advanced civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had a lot of technology. They had, you know, it was really kind of like us, only different.
You know,
a different expression of an advanced civilization that kind of turned in on itself, you know, got a little bit greedy, got, you know, and then of course the big floods and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and the earth did a big number on it.
And you can point to, you know, the collapse of the Bronze Age, you know, as maybe being tied into this. You can point to a lot of the volcanic activity. We're going to get into the Minoans and some other peoples in the Mediterranean a little bit later on. But, you know, when we talk about, you know, one thing that I was really trying to allude to with that little spiel was, you know, the depth of this history goes back further than Plato, surely, that people
actually
were relaying stories.
Dr. Greg is mentioning that in the chat also. You know, so yeah, we get it. It's, but as you say, Michael, how would we know? Because so much is lost.
Mm-hmm. We have so little to go on.
So this is where, you know, we speculate. Shirley MacLaine, of course, back in the 70s, I am a big Shirley MacLaine fan, by the way. Reading her books, Out on a Limb, especially back in the 70s, and she talked about how the Lemurians came before the Atlanteans. And one of the theories is Lemurians were an androgynous species. And again, very evolved, but that, you know, certain members would volunteer themselves to have the gestation of the next and so on. But they wanted to, some elected to want to split off into genders. And that was the beginning of Atlantis. So Atlantis was kind of a development of Lemuria. Now, how much of that you want to believe is, it's just, I'm just sharing stories here
right.
with you. So the Atlanteans came already with some technology, advanced technology. And that's where I kind of go with the ancient alien thing, too.
Well,
But then it went male-female. And of course, then, as it goes, the story of Plato.
And, you know, I was joking a little bit before the broadcast that I'm not really can't even say the name correctly, Blavatsky believer.
Yeah.
I find the stories interesting, and I find it, you know, provocative in thought, and definitely possible in the sense that it's unverifiable and that there's so much that we don't know. I also think that a lot of what we consider potentially ancient alien might be ancient human, or if not human, then species that originated on Earth alongside us that was technologically apt, that would have created a lot of these things as well. And, you know, we talked
so
about
just
Atlantis.
Just to fill in the blanks for, sorry, Michael, interrupt, but to fill in the blanks for people, that the theory of Lemurians to Atlanteans is part of Blavatsky, Madame Blavatsky's theory. Go back to the early 1900s of the Theosophical Society and the underground psychic societies. And so that's where a lot of that writing comes from. But she also puts Atlantis earlier than what Plato says.
Right.
So again, that speculation. I just had to clarify that for
Well, and thank you for doing so. A lot of times go in a conversational manner and not cite the material. But what I was trying to say is that, you know, the idea and the legend of Atlantis is provocative because even if it's not true, it is something that has turned into a bit of a lesson. And we, you know, Dr. Mike had mentioned, since Plato is the only one to mention Atlantis, could it have been an educational lesson? And of course, because, you know, writers of that era, just they didn't always think like us. You know, they were writing, you know, for their audience, not an audience 2,500 years later. And it could have been, they also put a lot of morality into it. You know, why did Atlantis fall? Atlantis fell because of pride and hubris, right? They misused the energy and they warred amongst themselves. Kind of a story, a morality tale, if you will. Not to take away from the legend, you know, but it is the mixture of intoxicating possibilities and lore and fable and this connection to the ancient world, and, you know, something that we humans have been obsessed with for 2,000 years. That and, like, the Abrahamic religions, apparently. But, you know, Atlantis is the fun one. I think we...
Well,
oh, okay.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think we might have lost you, but I got you.
No, I'm here. I'm also reading in our... Dr. Gray makes a good point. He said, today we class genetically using DNA three beings, XX, XY, and XXY. The last is now rising to the level of world leadership. It's true.
Yeah. Interesting.
I mean, It's one way to see it. But I think what we can learn from this, and I think this may be why we're so fascinated with history, are we repeating the Atlantis experience?
Mm-hmm.
Again, different expression of the same thing. Have we become so powerful and violent, you know, and do we have, all it takes is one goofball to be mad one day, you know, that's all it takes. And like, there we go, poof.
Yeah.
But right, and I say this really, my heart goes out to Pakistan right now, which half the country is underwater.
Yeah.
Folks in the Mississippi, half like underwater, and so we
Bangladesh
have,
as well.
Oh yes, it's crazy what's going on. So we're in a different expression of the same thing. What Plato referred to as Atlantis in one day. Really, it could easily be said that the people of Pakistan feel that way too in one day, you know. And so again, that view of things. And,
well,
but the lesson is, are we really that violent of a species? Do we really take our primordial, you know, that animal instinctual competitive kind of side, and are we really, like, is our DNA encoded with this need? I like to think not, but it seems that historically and where we are today, it's pretty iffy. We're not doing a great job in some ways.
This is how I kind of come to it when it comes to things like that. Let's not try to separate humanity from the rest of nature and from the natural cycle of the constant, you know, fight for survival that is existence in this world, at least. And probably amongst many worlds throughout the known universe, if it follows the same principle and pattern. And we don't have a reason to yet believe that it wouldn't. Although you have to, when you don't know, you don't know. We have nothing to test it against. But life on this planet, as we were again talking about, and my father, Dr. Kelly, the elder I call him these days, is fond of saying that we live on a planet where everything eats everything else. And truth be told, I don't know if that's original. I don't know if that is somebody picked up, but it's true. And, you know, it is that way because we have all been struggling to survive and to thrive in this world. Human beings have not always been on the top of the food chain. It wasn't so long ago that we would have realistic concerns about being somebody else's lunch. And when I say not terribly long ago, I'm talking about in the span of the cosmos, in the span of this earth and biological time. The advancement of humanity over the last 10,000 years, ironically, from what we're talking about with Atlantis, has been, you know, shocking. You know, it's picked up steam faster and faster and faster. And even in times where people look back and they say, well, the technology didn't advance much. They're still using swords here. They're still using swords there. What's the difference? The difference is a few things. The difference is not only archaeological and, architectural, and building methods, but it's also ways of thinking, of structuring societies, of furthering our minds and our abilities to conceptualize possibility. And as that picks up steam, we kind of get getting back to this point. So that is just a fun little way we can tie back into what may have happened 9,000-10,000 years ago. Why is it that, you know, some of these things start, you know, exploding on the scene where we have, you know, all of these things relating to the domestication of animals, to agriculture, to the beginnings of the early cities, to these great societies forming. So,
you know, Dr. Greg, thank you for that. He says, I cannot imagine any great and advanced civilization being violent, destructive, murderous, greedy, and narcissistic. I completely agree. Thank you very much. Because if... You know, but how are we evolving? How are we advancing intellectually or spiritually? You know, is our consciousness expanding in a way that we're inclusive of our spirituality and our universality and being metaphysical humanists? Or are we simply evolving, calling ourselves advanced when we just think we're smart and powerful?
Well, we're definitely more elaborate. I mean, whether that means better than or advanced, I'll leave it up to others to decide. But, you know, you can't deny that, you know, human beings, we are now the prime movers of, you know, raw earth on this planet as opposed to, you know, the natural forces. We have come to dominate this planet for a brief window, perhaps, on the geological scale. We shall see what happens. I wonder what humanity will be 1,000, 10,000 years from now. Will they talk about the legend of, you know, places like there was once a place called America where the great crater exists now, you know, 5,000 years from now.
Well, I think what is going to be interesting as water levels change, you know, again, rain and drought in areas, and again, what we alluded to, talked a little bit about last week, of more is become visible and evident, such as in Spain has its own, you know, Stonehenge now, and, which, you know, we knew about before, but now it's above ground. So we can really take a look at that, and I think more will become evident that we have to once again question where we came from and how we got here.
Right.
Because there's a lot of architectures, you mentioning that, who are trying to recreate old buildings, you know, or even trying to recreate a pyramid using the original kinds of technologies that we think they had. And it's taking forever. You know, try and build a stone castle. Well, good luck with that.
Well, when you have a lot of manpower, a lot of labor, it makes, you know, these people are not, they don't have tens of thousands of slaves at hand to go ahead and start doing that stuff. In talking about castles and things, you know, the Romans were famous builders. They could put up, you know, massive forts and castles in, you know, days. Now that kind of skill then evolved into the European castles of the late medieval period, Renaissance and on and all that, but fascinating. And, you know, again, we kind of leap back to this idea of Atlantis. I'm trying to circle myself back around. I know Dr. Vicky, you're kind of trying to keep me in line tonight too, but it's just this, the provocative ideas, you know, Plato talking about these ancient advanced people. And, you know, there are parallels in the fact that many Mediterranean islands were devastated by volcanic activity. Minoans being, I think, one of the most, if not the most famous example, an incredibly advanced people by ancient standards that we know of. They had running water, they had complex cities, they had, you know, sewage systems, they had hot baths, they had toilets, flushing toilets, all of these things, you know, in, you know, in the Bronze Age. We're talking almost 4,000 years ago now. And a terrible volcanic disaster, one of the worst in, you know, what we can record in more modern history, devastated these people. A lot of them fled to what is now Greece, and, you know, they helped found that next phase of Greek culture in that place, but they were not the only ones affected. And when you had this volcanic activity, it was not just that place that was affected, because this creates a tsunami in the Mediterranean that wipes out entire places. So there are many parallels for this idea of Atlantis that we can point to.
Another civilization in South America that had against similar advanced technologies, like with sewage systems and water sources.
I'm trying to remember. You may well be right. I'm not aware of any, you know, more complex societies in the Americas up until, you know, probably the Maya being the earliest, you know, right around a few hundred BCE.
Yeah, it seems to me it's lost to me. But I think there's so much more we don't know.
Oh,
which,
of course.
Like, you know, so Michael, you and I come on the program, and I know it's kind of our own party here. You know, thankfully we get input on the chat. But, you know, we still have minimal information. We can host a program, talk all we want, but we still have a minuscule amount of information compared to what's out there. Because one human being just can't know it all.
Right.
You know, even after, I mean, I'm 67 years old coming up. Metaphysics has been my whole life. Started buying little books and hiding them under my mattress when I was 9. My mother thought I was possessed by the devil. And, you know, so, I mean, I've just been fascinated with metaphysics. And I think the more I've learned, the less I know. And I realize that I know very little.
Gosh darn you, Dunning-Kruger.
You know, there's just so much more. When, you know, my late teacher, Magda, bless her heart, right before she passed, in our last conversation, she said to me, "My time is coming, and it's time for me to go. I've learned all that I can in this lifetime, but I've shared with you enough questions that you'll keep asking. And that's what I hope for you, is that you keep asking the questions." And that was the last lesson that she taught me. And it stuck. I tell you, it's like a sliver. It doesn't go away. And it's keep learning, because there's always more to know. We know very, very little. Atlantis is a tickle, I think. It's barely a tickle for all the things that we think we know, but we don't know anything. I think that there have been many civilizations here. That's my theory. We can include what we've been talking about the last few weeks. You know, ancient civilizations, you know, ETs. Maybe they're not so alien after all. We're the aliens. We have to see it that way. When we look at biblical references, you know, the Bible is a compilation of diaries. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't even put together until the Third Council of Nicaea in 362 or something.
The more modern-esque one, yeah.
And exactly. Then, of course, people kept changing it because they liked it better. But there's references, even in the Old Testaments, of, you know, so well, thinking that there's, again, all these references of how we can look at, we've been duped in so many ways, because the common knowledge is always by the conqueror and the one who holds the power. And that's always, that's been my favorite question. When somebody makes a statement, I say, well, who said that?
Yeah.
Who decided that? Where did that come from? It's done this way. But who said that? You know? And, I hadn't thought about that. You know, it's like saying, well, that's your religion of choice. No, it's not a choice. It's fact. Well, how is it fact? It's your religion of choice. Because we assume truth when it may not be. So that's my little speech in there. I love the idea of Atlantis. I love the idea of even Lemuria, for that matter. I love these ideas, but what do we learn by that? And is... I'm not afraid of dying, Michael, at all. I'm afraid of coming back to more of this crap. It's like, if I have to reincarnate, can it look different? I don't know.
Yeah, I've decided to embrace my optimistic nihilism. I'm sorry, more kind of like a Buddha Zen type thing where like, hey, all right, I'm on the ride. Let's have fun with it. Explore as much as we can, figure out as much as we can. But at one point I had to tell myself that I had to be okay with, you know, even just a materialist. When we're done, we're done, and there's nothing else, because that is hypothetically possible. And if I can be okay with that, then, well, whatever else is okay. Yeah. But I also was so many thoughts. I was thinking about, you know, you talk about how we know so little of history, and that's always going to be the case. We could take all 7 going on 8 billion of us on the planet, as soon as they're able to read, put everybody on history and looking into artifacts and studying and researching all of this, and we'll have but a fraction of it because of all of the layers that came before. Nothing.
And you're going to have 8 million different opinions.
A billion, yeah, exactly. And furthermore, you nothing comes from a vacuum. You know, the Hebrew faith, the original monotheistic, you know, one of the original monotheistic religions, didn't come from a vacuum. None of these beliefs came from a vacuum. They all came from something before it, which came from something before it. You know, everything develops in that way. There are not these simple events where things spring onto the scene out of nowhere. No, they build up to it. Was Atlantis there? Quite possibly. Absolutely. There are some compelling things to think about and to say towards it. Could it have been an educational tool, as Dr. Mike had suggested, as a hypothetical? Absolutely. Could it have been some of these ancient events with the civilized Mediterranean peoples in the Bronze Age having their nation islands wiped out? Could be. But the morality story of Atlantis is what's so provocative. And Dr. Vicky, thank you for going so deep into that, because that's exactly, exactly where I was hoping to. And you said it far better and included sources that I just am not familiar with. But, you know, it's just a fascinating topic. It provokes the imagination. It stirs the soul.
Well, Dr. Greg says it pretty well, too, in the chat. He says, I think our mental horizons are stretched and challenged by the life and times of Atlantis and Lemuria, Greece and Rome. And I totally concur. We are challenged by that. I wish more people would entertain history and different kinds of history, not history of 10 years ago or, 50 years ago, but history way back in our evolution. That's fascinating.
You want to have something to point to? You want to have something to point to where you can say that, yes, humans are getting better. Slavery was ubiquitous in human civilization for most of its existence after agriculture and on. Even in the tribal peoples, when I say tribal, I'm talking Celts. I'm talking peoples in Europe, peoples in Eurasia, and all of these places. Mm-hmm. I'm not just talking about what modern people would consider tribal, because we all originate from tribal peoples at one point or another before they became quote unquote settled. And you know, these terms like barbarian and savage are often as attributable or more attributable to the people using these slurs as the people that they're casting mm-hmm. them on. Not to say that anybody was perfect, but look at the advancement that we have in morality at the least. Do we have a certain type of economic slavery in parts of the world? Absolutely. Do we have things that we need to improve? Oh, without a doubt, so much more further to go. But the fact that chattel human slavery and the way that it was common in the ancient world, and I'm talking 4,000 years ago, you know, 3,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and in parts of the world, you know, as much as 500 years ago, well, in most parts of the world, actually, every part of the world. But it is only very recently that we have socially evolved to this point. So Dr. Greg said that an egalitarian is his idea of advanced. I would largely agree with that, and I would say the idea of advancement more than technology and anything else is when you respect the rights of the, not just the individual, but the respect the rights of life in this world, not just humans, but the balance of everything. When you just respect life in and of itself, and you understand the pain of it, you understand the duality of it, you understand the yin and yang of it, you understand that it's not always going to be the way that you want it to be. And, you know, there are many beautiful things about life. But as you were talking earlier, talking about the small little glimmers, the glimpses that we get into this wonderful universe, it's so very narrow, it's so very brief, and it's so very limited. And that is one of the great tragedies, is that we have this wonderfully beautiful, massive existence. And, you know, we are in a position in this life, at this time, in this moment at least, that we cannot understand the full reality of it. But that very well may change. I think it does change in the next phase of our existence, my own little personal hope. I also think that in this material world of science, that it will change over the next preceding, you know, thousands of years. Ideally, we're not going to kill ourselves, and it's going to go on.
Well, some might.
Well, of course, but I mean, as long as we can keep the species going.
We got to draw some cards.
I know, and I was saying we should keep it short because I hadn't been feeling great either, but here I am.
Yeah, but it's that time. I know, but we can talk. We get excited when we get talking. So
all right. Now that Dr. Vicky has, you know, used that long, what was it, a long like a cane or something they would use on stage to pull actors off.
That's funny. Yeah. Now, just for the record, I want to couple of references in the chat. So for those listening in the archives, there's so much going on in the chat room here. It's very exciting if you ever get a chance to join us. But reference to water. Back in the 80s, I was already clued into us having a water issue on the planet and saying, yikes, you know, fresh water. And a scientist friend of mine says, all water can be not just treated, but also refreshed. In other words, there's a natural process. You can put all water through, so we're not short of water. It's just who owns the patents to those technologies. And that's been the issue. We have long had, you know, the technology to, whether it's seawater, garbage water, sewage water, you know, we can put that. And the process is, let me get this right, H2O2O3 is ozone. So after you have filtered it, get the bacteria out, and then you ozonate the water, it's a restoration process. That's what the word I was looking for. And he said, you think about nature. He said, you can do that in technology. We've been able to do it for a long time. So when they say we don't have water, that's not true. It's who owns the technology to do that.
Well, so water's becoming a valuable resource, unfortunately.
or Nestle.
Well, not even. I mean, it's become an international conglomerate. Oh, such a line, you know, such a field of fun. But
so yeah. I digressed a bit too. I just wanted to tell people about that. Dr. Zach is up first. Michael, what kind of a card do you have in the Inner Oracle self-discovery cards?
All right, so we're going for the new. We're going for the new moon in Virgo, and Dr. Zach, I have number 11, awareness, and I dropped it, and going back, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude.
You know, you'll like this, Zach. He who is also, you know, a bit of a tarot guy, the Emperor. So I interpret this, the awareness and Emperor is simply, you're the boss of you. You know, you're your own emperor, is what I want to say, and that's how I'm connecting this. So you're doing what's right for you, Zach, keeping an open mind, you know, because as Michael has said, you know, just keeping an open mind of how you move forward, but you're in charge of you and how you want to go forward. So I don't know how that plays into your life right now, but I think when you think about it, it'll make sense in your from your perspective. So I'm over here just... seen it like a movie.
I love it. I love it. And how did you put that? Be your own emperor?
Yeah.
I love that.
Be your own emperor.
Slap it on a bumper sticker. I love it. It's good stuff.
I'll be the empress.
There you go. All right. And I believe
Jamil.
We have, yep, Jamil next. Yep. And Jamil, for you tonight, I have number 23, meaning and purpose. The meaning of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
I love this, Jamil. You got the tower. And I that's not a bad thing. Not a bit. I see it as a huge positive. One thing about the tower in the tarot, you have the foundation from which to build. Everything on top, it's kind of like, you know, you might put new siding on the house or new framing, but the foundation is secure. So finding meaning and purpose is you could be reconstructing yourself in a way that saying, I think my purpose is changing. You know, I feel like I want a different sense of purpose, a different sense of it. So you have this foundation in your life. You're going forward. It's just you want to change it up now so that it gives you that other sense of meaning and that self-value. So I just feel like there's things going on in your mind right now, maybe even spiritually a little restlessness. What do I want to do, you know, that makes you feel good? I like that. It's exciting.
Ah. I love it.
Doesn't always feel good when you're in it.
I think that's pretty much like half at least of most life. All right. I have Dr. Raven next. And tonight I have number 26, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others. You can only change yourself and your own energy signature.
Oh, I love that for Raven. And welcome back, Raven. I know you've been absent for a while. You'd moved and you finally got your internet up where you're living. It's good to have you back here. And I think you're going to like this because with energy signature, the page of pentacles, it's a page of diamonds, is the support energy. And meaning to me, looking at ways to earn money, changing some, tweaking some things, looking at your energy signatures, how you want to shift a few things up from this new place that you're at, and how you want to earn a living, and how money is coming to you. So I see this as a big positive myself, because when it shows up like this, you know, if Michael and I are choosing cards, it means in my world that the universe has heard you, and we've heard you, and it's through these tools that we can say to you, you're being heard out there. So that's a good one. I feel like there's a nice turn of events coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said, too, you know. And my hat's off to you. I was thinking to myself, I need to say this as we wrap up, but my hat's off to you, Dr. Vicky, for your insights and your ability to kind of tune into something. You know, I hope that the probability is what you get from me and how the cards play out. And thank you to our card keeper, Wendy. She had pointed out that this is a new card for Dr. Raven, but this card has been making its way around lately, she says. And I was just thinking that myself, and we had, I think, remarked on that, right, Dr. Vicky, about this, you know, energy signature and how we're kind of, you know, shifting right now as a people.
I agree.
Lest I go on, I believe, let's see, we have Dr. Kevin next. And Kevin, I have number 44, attitude over disposition. Enthusiasm and or an agreeable disposition, along with good manners, assures individual happiness that inevitably influences others. Drawing this card may indicate a time to review a change in attitude regarding someone or something in your life. This can be positive or negative. Be proactive and ask yourself, how hard can it be? A can-do attitude makes it happen.
Wow, Kevin. The first card I pulled out was the Two of Spades. So that Two of Swords is, think of it as intuitively having to make a decision or feeling like, and you don't, you know, not able to pinpoint what an irritation might be, because spades are contrary in a way. So I pulled another card to say, because I'm asking myself, like, what do you mean by that? So I pulled another one, and it just came out the world. So if you feel at this point that there's some inhibitions, or you're not getting clarity, or something or someone is oppositional in a way, it's just shifting your view of it and your thoughts, because the world is opening up when you stay on your own frequency. Now, I'm not saying whether it's a partnership or somebody close, it doesn't mean you discard those people. It just means that we don't take on their energy, if that makes sense, or take on somebody else's worry or concerns. You know, is be positive and move forward, because I think that that's what this indication here is. So instead of sweating it, just relax and let the energy flow, visualize your intent, and, you know, it's all about attitude and disposition, right?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
All right. Lost my spot. Oh, Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike, up next again. Thank you so much. Appreciated to have you on a few weeks back. Going to make it happen. We're going to do a fundraiser. We're going to get a fee for you, so looking forward to it. And I have number 17 for you, reinvention. Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented? Good card. And don't see it come up too often. But and again, thank you for your contributions tonight, too. Always good insights.
Mike, in reinvention, Page of Cups, and I just kind of haven't had a flash. I know we invited you to join on the program. We know that you're a marine biologist, and you do lots of those other things and have an interest in metaphysics. And I don't know what other kinds of guest speaking you might do, so we have no indication of that, but I'm getting a feel here that you could be, in this reinvention, invited to other things or groups to give talks or to share some of your experiences or knowledge or your journey. And I'm going to go way out on a limb here and say I see somebody with a camera in your face and doing a video. So reinvention with the Page of Cups, there's lots of communication going on. And, of course, sometimes an opportunity is you can always say no, but I'm going to try to be encouraging and say, you're up for this, absolutely. So you got some stuff coming your way. It's exciting.
Always love it. I love an exciting message. Gives you a little hope, looking, something to look forward to. But, excuse me. All right. And,
Wendy?
Yep, I thought so. I was just double checking, see if it's Gerald. But Wendy, our card keeper, thank you so much for what you do. And tonight, Law of Control, has a familiar vibe to it. You let me know. But number five, Law of Control. Oh, excuse me. Differences are inevitable. Diversity is desirable. The Law of Control says that you cannot change or control others, but you can have a positive impact or influence. Control only that to which you are entitled to control. Do not give unsolicited advice. Respect that everyone has the same rights to self-creation and decisions. You can accept present circumstances as they are, lobby for change, or leave.
Eight of Clubs. Law of Control with the Eight of Clubs. The Eight of Clubs is generally fast action, quick movement, where things get very busy or happen very quickly. And what I'm getting from this, Wendy, is you might have to stay on your toes, like being pulled in many directions, lots of things needing to be done. And but the Law of Control really asks of you to stay in your body, stay present, and move forward as you're able to. So don't get in over your head where you feel like, whoa, I'm out of control. Is maintaining control is maintaining that management of self. So what can you manage, and only do what you're able to without, you know, stressing yourself out too much. So Law of Control, Eight of Clubs, that's the story I get in my head from that. So,
all right. And I do believe that we have Ronaldo, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to double-check myself. I'm not trusting my immediate recall. I'm a little, like I said, not feeling too great and a little tired. But all right, Ronaldo, I have for you tonight number 21, Insight and Wisdom. Always a favorite. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment in seeing the underlying truth. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand the motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions.
Insight and wisdom with the Six of Diamonds. I want to say here some creative financing. And maybe it's something that you want to buy, something you want to get, but it's being creative about how you juggle that or how you balance the budget, balance the books, something. But I also want to say, it's kind of partnering that, Ronaldo, is that there's something else you're going to be doing that's bringing in extra income. So it's insight and wisdom. It's like stay sharp because there's another opportunity. So something could come to you, a suggestion, an idea, and you say, you know what, I could do that, and I could make some extra money on that. So I think that's because it's really all about finance in support here. And in no way is this a negative. That's not what I'm feeling. I'm just saying just kind of a little bit of a juggle and saying, you know what, I think that I could, you know, work that part-time thing, or I could do that other thing for extra income. So I hope that makes sense to you in some way. Now, something's coming your way. I feel that for sure. I want to thank everybody for the feedback. You know, I say this time and again, it's not me, I just listen. And I want to clarify this too. It's always easier to listen for other people's lives, not always for my own.
That's simply a truism about life, not just, you know, it's not relegated to you. It's always easier for people to dish out advice than take it themselves. I mean, I'll tell you, I'll fix the world's problems right now, but am I going to listen to my own advice? Eh, I'll give you a 50-50.
You know, I haven't done it for a very long time, but when I have read for myself, I do five layouts, and I think about all the points in a star, five elements. There's not four elements, there's five elements. So I will do five different spreads, and I see the thread, because it's so hard to be, you know, objective, right? So I see the thread, the repeating pattern, in each of those spreads that I do. And even if I don't necessarily like it, you know, I have to listen and say, oh, well, if that keeps coming up, well, I guess I better, you know, give my head a shake here or look at this differently or, you know, how do I want to move forward? So that's just something. If you're going to read for yourself, don't just do it one time and think that you know, because usually when I pull a spread for myself or something, Michael, I say, well, I don't like the looks of that. It's like, what do you mean I'm not winning the lotto?
I know. If I do it, I'm just going to be like, no, don't like that one. No, I don't like that one either.
I know.
All right, I'll take that one. All right, that one's going to be the others were just practice. This one's for real.
Yeah, I know. It's true, though. So it's I can listen better, hear better for other people than I can for myself. But that is the thing about, you know, in readings. I just wanted to share that. Oh, well, Ronaldo, so far tonight, everybody's saying that they could relate, so I'm really glad to hear that. Thank you for the feedback.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about what Dr. Mike is going to be up to, because we're going to have him back. Of course, he knows we can't pay him. But
don't tell everybody. I want to have the illusion of being illustrious. But, well, I had thrown in chat to get a little quick poll, and we can have a bevy of tasks. And Dr. Mike, if you're willing to come back on, you don't have to twist my arm. But
no.
We were talking about, I threw out there, animals or animal consciousness for next week.
Good.
Got a couple of hand raises here. So throwing that on the docket perhaps, or, you know, hey, we'll try and connect with you. No, not trying to put you on the spot on air or anything, so we'll chat with you by email and catch up and see if you're interested. But
you know, I love that because I've been watching a little more stuff on whales, and I know it was a couple of years ago when the one orca lost her infant and, you know, carried it on her back for weeks, bless her heart, and it did open up the doors for discussion, you know, all over the world about, you know, grief and loss and consciousness with animals. So I love that topic, Michael. We'll do it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I'm going to keep it open on the site page until we confirm with Dr. Mike, and we're either going to do that or the animals are going to go roll with it. Might even talk about the marine biology, I think, as you had alluded to as I was reading in chat and not doing a great job multitasking. Which only occasionally happens where I divert my attention for a second and you'll be saying a message and I'm like, wait, did I catch the full vibe of that? And am I about to say something that Dr. Vicky just said? Oh, I'm about to make a fool of myself. But the great thing is I try to make those foolish moments into humor.
Absolutely.
But thank you everybody for joining us. You know, it's gotten to that time of the night. It's been a fun topic. You know, I love the idea of Atlantis. Another thank you to Dr. Greg. This is a fascinating thing for me, not just because of the potential of its reality, but because of the story itself. It has meaning and power in and of itself. Whether it was real or not, Atlantis is powerful, and it has something to teach us. And, you know, all the times in life, I like to err on the side of, if both are possible, why not have fun with it? Why not see, what if it did have this group of people? What if these people did exist? How would they have lived? So, any last thoughts, Dr. Vicky?
Oh, don't let them push you around out there, guys. Stay the due course. That's what I say.
Well,
it can get a little crazy out there at times. And a friend of mine, her car stalled in an intersection last week, and she was shocked. She had her, you know, hazards on. She's got the cone out. She's got everything waiting for the tow truck. And everybody's honking their horn at her. And she said she was surprised at how many times people would pull up right behind her car, you know, and they were honking the horn and they were women. She said, what's up with women? I said, I don't know. There's a lot of angry people out there. And, you know, she just shrugs and said, nothing I can do, you know.
Yeah.
And she was shaken for a minute at not the fact that her car stalled. I mean, life happens. It's the responses about when you're in somebody's way. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think, oh man, this is it happens everywhere, even in Canada, people.
Yeah, but it's super more polite in Canada. There's a lot more apologies.
They still honk their horns here.
I thought the horns in Canada say sorry, sorry.
No, no. That's good though. Oh, somebody should come up with that. Sorry. Michael.
Ba-dum,
I think we've got to patent that idea right now.
Trademark pending.
Yeah, there
All right.
You go.
Well,
it's been a great show. Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Looking forward to it next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.